Dr. Olatanga, alofi vaya dubini, talofalava.
Talofalava.
Tell us something about yourself. When did you graduate and how long have you practiced medicine in Australia?
Thank you very much. I'm a Samoan-born Samoan doctor, but I arrived in New Zealand when I was about 3 or 4 years old. So I look at myself as a New Zealand educated person and lived there most of my life and was able to qualify in medicine, our basic medical degree from Auckland University, I think, started about 1983 and graduated in 1990. And then after that, moved to greener pastures to Sydney, Australia, where I decided to pursue general practice and then was able to obtain my fellowship as a general practitioner in 1995. And so since then, I was able to set up our own practice. I say our own practice because I married a lovely Persian man and we settled in Sydney and have got two beautiful young children, or now young adults. But our practice is now been going since 1995. So it's more than 22 years now. So it's as old as my eldest child, who's now 21 and a half.
Let's talk about diabetes. Is diabetes a problem amongst the Samoan community in Sydney?
Since I've been practicing as a general practitioner, even when I was a medical student in Auckland, New Zealand, it seemed to be that our Samoan, Maori and Pacific, seemed to have the highest rates of complications once they diagnose diabetes. So now in Sydney, Australia, with the last census, we have a population of maybe 3% of the national population, but of that 3%, we have the highest numbers of admissions for complications related to diabetes. Also, in terms of the severity of complications, so heart disease, kidney disease, eye disease, recurrent infections, and even during pregnancy, we have lots of complications related to diabetes. So yes, it is a big problem in our community in Sydney.
Why is that?
Lots and lots of different reasons. That is why now in my many years of working as a general practitioner, I'm now interested, very much interested into research, because now we're going to try and answer those questions as to why that is. I suspect it's probably related to our lack of awareness, lack of interest, and also lack of understanding of having that diagnosis and what it means and what it means to try and prevent it, and what it means to try and monitor it so it doesn't reach the high levels of complications that we see in our community now, and also in New Zealand and probably in Samoa as well.
Is it possible that somebody may be having diabetes, either type 1 or type 2 or, you know, diabetes of any sort, and not be aware that they've got it?
Well, the classification of diabetes is there are mainly three different types. One is type 1, which is one that more what we see in younger people, and that we don't know the absolute causes, and those are the ones that we call type 1 insulin dependent. So those ones, when they're diagnosed, means that they require insulin, and probably right now in our current time, we have no other treatment for that except insulin. Type 2 is what more that our communities are getting, which is complex, probably related to diet, genetic, and probably weight. And then that is the one that we seem to get later on in life. So it's type 2 non-insulin resistance. It's more related to our lifestyle awareness. And then the other third one is what we call gestational diabetes, which is more related to when our women become pregnant, for some reason, if they put on excessive weight, their pancreas develops resistance and they can have a tendency to have large babies and to gain a lot of weight. So those are the three main types. And depending on which one you have, depends on then the treatment that we can give you.
From getting somebody diagnosed to getting somebody through a process whereby they will have to acknowledge that they have diabetes and they need to do something about it, to maybe post-diagnosis whereby there is a community awareness where people who have diabetes should be able to have a lifestyle and tell their children, for example, what they need to be aware of in order for the children not to get diabetes. Where do they start?
Well, I think that's where GPs are very, very useful people. So to diagnose diabetes, we're really asking for what the symptoms are. So let's take, for example, the type 2 diabetes, because type 1, they're usually very sick and we can pick it up very quickly and usually in an emergency setting. But the type 2 is probably the ones that we are seeing in general practice in their mid-40s to late 50s and more. And usually we have a screening process now, like we can check by doing blood tests, regular checkups. Australia has a great prevention program, and that's why general practitioners are so well regarded. So with that, we can diagnose through a simple blood test. Or the patients may be developing supportive symptoms, so they might be getting very, very overweight. They might be becoming very tired. They might be getting lots of infections. And usually if there's a family history, then we will screen very early to diagnose. And usually there's a couple of ways to do it, but the most common way is what we call doing a blood test called a glucose tolerance test, which is a test that they do over 3 hours and they are given a sugar load. And then we look at their body's response to it. There's a certain cutoff mark, and if they go above those levels, then they're most likely a diabetic, a type 2. Once we've got that, it's very important that the GP has a very, very good one-on-one relationship with that patient, because they need to try and acknowledge it. Now, usually if we pick it up when it's quite early, we can get on very well with life interventions, and that's when we really like to involve the families and we really need to educate the diabetic person very, very early. The problem is that on the first diagnosis, everyone's very keen, very excited. But then after a while, like all things, people get a bit bored, or for whatever reason, they don't come for checkups. So as GPs, our job is to continually monitor and try and intervene. But what's happening in some of our communities, for example, the Samoan communities, there may be just a little bit of a stigma as to our people not wanting to come and get a checkup, not realizing the symptoms, or maybe a little bit in denial. I have quite a few patients that we have picked up that they're a diabetic, but they refuse to come back for follow-up. And in many ways, we are very anxious, because it's just a matter of time. If they don't try and look at their diet and lifestyle changes, they'll become very sick within a couple of months. So those are the people that we really need to reach out to. And that's why it's very important that we look at our community setting and try our best to educate maybe at the church level, at the family level, so when the patients come to us, to try and involve the families with their consents, and then really to motivate them to try to improve health issues that may be affecting their diabetes. The biggest thing that we find is the person's mindset. If they're not willing to acknowledge that they have a chronic condition, or if they're not willing to agree with your diagnosis, then we have a real battle on our hands. And the other thing is that we have is, as we know with our Samoan people, there's so many other things going on in life that one diagnosis always goes to the back of the back. It does not, you know, it's the last thing that they address until it becomes very, very serious. So there are many barriers as to why people, when they're first diagnosed or as they develop more complications, why they will not adhere or listen to or take treatments or stop treatment.
What about the complications? Renal dialysis, amputation?
Yeah, so the things that I see in general practice now, and the sad thing is it escalates in our Pacific people. If they're only able to monitor and keep things going, but I have patients that are diagnosed from under 10 years and they now have developed severe complications. So these might be truck drivers, they might be ministers of religion, you know, usually our very important people, our bread earners, and they're the ones that totally ignore. So they then get the complications of high blood pressure. Some of them might present with a heart attack. Some of them might present with end-stage renal, so they have to have dialysis. It's quite amazing. And then the only time they realize it is a problem when they have to lose their livelihood because they can't see or they can't drive anymore, they can't work anymore. So it's very, very important that we try our best to address it with these types of patients before it reaches these very, very dangerous stages in that.
Dr. Olatanga Alofi Vai Dupinia, thank you so much, Pafitai Te Lalawa, for talking to us.
And thank you very much for giving myself an opportunity to discuss important things in general practice.